to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. While you're turning there, Matthew chapter 19. It's good to see you here this evening. Now, I said this morning that I understand that there are times when we have to miss services. There are times that things come up and we just have to miss even a gospel meeting service. If you must miss a night, you don't want to miss tomorrow night. You just don't want to miss tomorrow night. You may have to miss another night, but you don't want to miss tomorrow night as we study God's Word. So look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. And guess what? If you will bring someone with you tomorrow night, everybody here will bring one person with you tomorrow night. Guess what? We'll have twice as many tomorrow night as we had tonight. I mean, you don't have to be very smart to figure that one out. But everybody bring one tomorrow night. I promise you that I'll preach God's Word as best I know how, in truth, love, boldness, and yet not be offensive intentionally to anybody as far as, intentionally just setting out to be offensive. But I stand ready to answer Bible questions any way that I possibly can. Anything about which I preach, be glad to try to answer your Bible-related questions. I want you to do something this week, if you will. I know I believe you've been doing this, but I want you to pray this week. We have three more nights, three more lessons after this. I want you to pray tonight when you go home. I want you to pray for this gospel meeting. I want you to pray for me, if you will, please. I need all the encouragement and all the prayers that I can get for as I study and prepare lessons. My lessons are prepared, but I study and I study and I study until I deliver the lesson. So I want you to pray for me that I will preach God's Word boldly and I'll preach God's Word in love. I want you to be thinking about somebody that you know, somebody with whom you work, somebody with your next door neighbor or your friends or a family member, somebody that you know that needs to hear the gospel of Christ, somebody that you know that needs to hear the plan of salvation. I want you to invite someone to come with you to worship God with you tomorrow night. And if they can't come tomorrow night, perhaps another night this week. But please be thinking about someone. Song we just sung ought to motivate us. You know, salvation has been brought down. And it's full and it's free. It's by the grace of God. And we need to do all that we can to tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 19, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 6, paying special attention to verses 4 through 6. But in Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 1, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, saying to him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife just for any reason?' And he answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? And he said, For this reason a man shall leave his father, his mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder.'" Now, I want you to stop with me there for just a moment, and I want to ask a question this evening. How many of us are married? If you don't mind just raising your hand, how many of us are married? All right, several of you are married. Most of us probably are married. All right, I want to share with you a little article that I have used in years past, not recently, but in years past, I've used this article in wedding ceremonies. And it's going to relate to our message tonight. Now, tonight's message is entitled, "Are You Married?" Now, we're not talking about the physical marriage, as we mentioned this morning. But we're talking about the spiritual marriage. Are you married to the Lord? Now, we understand from our lesson this morning, both lessons tied together, but we understand that the church is the bride of Christ. And so there is a marriage relationship between the church and Christ. The church is the bride, Christ is the husband, he is the head of the church, his husband is the head of the wife. But I'm going to get to that in a moment, but I want to share with you an article that I believe will be applicable to our lesson this evening. And the title of it is "The Meaning of Marriage." And I don't know who the author is, or I'd give him or her credit. But it goes like this. Marriage was ordained by God in the Garden of Eden, confirmed at the wedding of Cana, of Galilee, by the gracious presence and miraculous blessing of Jesus Christ. It is a sacred, unbreakable union of one man with one woman who dedicate themselves to the loving service of God, each other, their children, and their neighbor. Marriage unites two hearts and lives, blending all their interests, sympathies, and hopes. It involves mutual forbearance, loving suffering, unwavering confidence, lifelong trust, and happiness that is found in making each other happy. Such a solemn linking of destinies should not be effected lightly, but reverently, prayerfully, soberly, and in the fear of God. In contrast with all the other earthly compacts entered into for mutual protection, advancement of interest, or hope of gain, marriage is a holy contract, uniting man and woman for the establishment of a home, which shall endure through all the storms and trials of life. Whether then the oncoming flood of years from out the unknown future bringing joy or sorrow, health or sickness, prosperity or adversity, sunshine or shadows, hopes fulfilled or dreams shattered, husband and wife are pledged to be true to each other forever, finding in reciprocated love life's greatest treasure and God's generous gifts. Now, I want you to think about what that little article, that article is impressing upon us and young people. I would encourage you to listen to that as you contemplate one of these days becoming married or going into the marriage relationship. That this is a lifelong commitment, but also it unites true hearts and lives together, and working for each other's happiness. And it is to be entered into reverently, prayerfully, with much thought. It is not to be entered into lightly. Okay, now that is the physical relationship that we call marriage. Physical relationship the Bible calls marriage. But I want us this evening to talk about another marriage. And that is the marriage between us as individuals and the Lord. This morning we dealt primarily with the church and being the bride of Christ. But I want to bring that a little closer now, and I want it to apply it to me. Am I married to Christ? Am I committed to Christ the way that I am committed to my wife? Am I committed for the long haul? Am I committed for the rest of my life to the Lord? Is the Lord number one in my life? Brethren, I don't mind telling you this evening that in this life, outside of Christ, next to my Lord, my wife is number one. She's number one in my life. And I know that's true of you as well. As your wife is number one, your husband is number one. And that's the way it ought to be. But in the spiritual realm, and you know, Christ is my husband. He is the bride. He is the husband. I am part of the bride. And so He must be number one in our lives. And so the Bible uses in Ephesians chapter 5 and Romans chapter 7, as we mentioned this morning, I'm not going to take time to read them again, but Romans 7 and Ephesians 5 uses that marriage relationship to illustrate what we ought to be in our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Revelation 21 and verses 2 and 9, the Apostle John said, I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the life's plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. He's talking about the church, talking about the bride of Christ. Now in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and following, Jesus promised that He was going to build His church. And he says, "The gates of hell, Hades, shall not prevail against it." And so, and the church and the kingdom been one and the same. In Romans chapter 16, verse 16, the apostle Paul said, "The churches of Christ salute you." So we are members. We are part of that bride of Christ. If you are not married to Christ this evening, you need to be. And I want us this evening, right now, I want us to stop and I want us to consider what we have to do to become married to Christ. We have to obey the gospel. That is how we are born into the family of God. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible teaches in Romans, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "He that comes to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." We must have faith in God, and we must have faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, "If you do not believe that I am He, you shall die in your sin." So we must have faith in God, faith in Jesus as the Son of God. We must repent of our sins. "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish," Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. And we must confess our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. With the heart of man believes and the righteousness with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:10. And we must be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And once we are baptized, Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Once we are baptized into Christ, the Lord has added us to His church. We've already seen that the church is the bride of Christ. So we're added to the family of God, part of that bride, and you and I then are married to Christ. We are married to Christ with Him being the head. Now, that being so, then He is to control our lives. He is the head of our lives. And the Bible teaches that we are to be committed to Him. Those of us in Christ, those of us who have obeyed the gospel. What about us this evening? That's what we're going to talk about in just a few moments. We are committed as Christians. We are committed to our husband. He is the head, and we are committed to Him. Christians are committed to love Christ with all their heart. Brethren, just for a few moments this evening, I want to ask you, are you committed to loving Christ with all of your heart? The singing we just finished this evening and the singing this morning, it sure sounded like that most of us were committed to, and we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. But I want us this evening not be concerned so much about the Cary congregation. I'm not talking about the Cary congregation this evening. I'm not talking about the congregation where you may worship. I'm talking about you personally and me. Not about us as a group, but individually. I want to zero in this evening. I want you with me to examine your heart and your life. How much do you as an individual love the Lord? The word love is the word agape, which is the strongest word possible for love. Christ loved the church, and the husband is to love his wife in the same way that Christ loved the church. Can you imagine Christ saying, "I just don't love the church anymore"? Have you ever heard husbands say, or heard of husbands saying, "I just don't love her anymore"? I've heard that. I've heard men say, "I just don't love her anymore." Talking about his wife. I've heard women say of her husband, "I just don't love him anymore." I can't imagine Christ ever saying that about his bride, can you? Christ would never say, "You know, I used to love the church. I used to love the church with all of my heart. I loved the church so much that I died for her. But I just don't love her anymore." Beloved, we ought not to be able to fathom in our greatest imagination as individuals, either you know, of our individual selves saying, "I just don't love Christ anymore. I don't love my spiritual husband anymore." And yet, we see it over and over and over again. But we are to love our Lord unto death. This spiritual marriage is a lifetime commitment to our Lord. Not only that, but as Christians, we are committed to being faithful to Christ. You know, God expects and He demands husbands to be faithful to their wives. And God expects and demands, commands wives to be faithful to their husbands as long as they live. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10. Bible says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. This is what he says. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, notice, will inherit the kingdom of God. Beloved, listen. The Bible teaches, if the Bible is right, and it is, those who are adulterers, those who are fornicators, those who are homosexual, those who are living in sin, they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Does God love the fornicator? Yes, He loves the fornicator. Does God love the homosexual? Yes, He loves the homosexual. Does God love the adulterer? Yes, He loves the adulterer. He hates their sin. Amen? He hates their sin. Brethren, you and I in this assembly tonight, a group of Christians meeting together to worship God, We find those kinds of sin just disgusting. We find them distasteful. We find them just atrocious. But let's look at us for a moment. As part of the bride of Christ, when you and I are not faithful to our Lord, we are guilty of spiritual adultery. Oftentimes when I preach on this subject, I often say, you know, that I'd rather be guilty of almost any sin. Now stay with me and don't go to sleep right now. But I'd rather be almost guilty of about any sin that I can think of than the sin of unfaithfulness to my wife. Adultery. I'd rather be guilty of the sin of lying. I'd rather be guilty of the sin of deceit. I'd rather be guilty of just about anything. I just cannot fathom being unfaithful to my wife. Being an adulterer. I'd rather you call me a liar than an adulterer. And yet our Lord tells us in Romans 7 that when we are unfaithful to Him, we are adulterers and adulteresses. Is that not right? We are adulterers and adulteresses. Not physical, but spiritual. Oh, how that must hurt our God in heaven. In Exodus chapter 20, in verses 2 to 5, God through Moses said to His people of that day, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Listen to that. No other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is heaven above or is on earth beneath. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Visit iniquity of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. But notice, you shall have no other gods before me. That's spiritual adultery. In Jeremiah 3 and verse 8, Israel committed the spiritual adultery many times by worshiping idols. And we read what God said to Israel through Jeremiah the prophet. He says, I saw that for all the causes of which the backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister, Judah, did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. So the northern kingdom committed adultery, spiritual adultery. God said He gave them a bill of divorcement. Spiritually speaking, of course. And then He says, and her sister, Judah, the southern kingdom, went and what? Did the same thing. Played the harlot. Now, He's talking about spirit. He's talking about idolatry in this context. But what He's talking about is putting other things before God. You say, well, what's all of this got to do with us today? Beloved, whenever you and I put anything or anyone above our God as being more important or take first priority in our lives, we are guilty of spiritual adultery. It may be our family. It may be our job. It may be our hobby. It may be our recreation. It may even be a rest. We need rest. You know, we need to rest our bodies. Whatever. If it comes before us, between us and God. You see, and I'm not here tonight to pass judgment. It's not my business to pass judgment. It's not my business to examine you. My business is to examine my heart. What is more important to me than serving God? What is so important in this life that I seek my own wills, my own pleasures, my own desires before God, is somehow rationalized with myself that it's okay. It's okay that I put other things before God. Not only are we committed as Christians to be faithful to Christ, but as Christians, we are committed to honor Christ. And of course, we can't be faithful to Him without honoring Him. And if we are faithful, we will honor Him. But we, as husbands and wives, honor each other, then we are to honor Christ. We've talked about this morning wearing that name Christian. And we wear it with honor. We glorify God. What a privilege it is to wear that beautiful, that name, that special name that identifies our relationship with the Savior of the world. You know, as wives think it's an honor to wear the husband's name, and the husband considers it an honor that the wife will wear his name. Well, we wear the name of Christ likewise with honor. Christians are also committed to supporting Christ. Husbands and wives support them, their spouse in many ways. Emotional support is so very important. We just need to talk sometimes. We need to be able to communicate with one another and listen to one another and encourage one another. That's what husbands and wives do. Well, Christ wants our support in this spiritual marriage. A husband or wife who finds their spouse lukewarm will soon realize that their marriage is in trouble. And the same thing in Revelation chapter 3 and 16 regarding the church. When Christ sees us as lukewarm, either we are a lukewarm congregation or we are a lukewarm individual, depending upon the context. But the Lord says, I wish you were either hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And Christ wants our financial support for the work of the church. In Acts 20 and verse 35, the inspired writer says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now that's not only money, but other things as well. But the Lord wants us to give to Him. Give Him of our money, give of our energy, give of our time. Dedicate ourselves to Him fully. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, speaking of the financial giving to the Lord, I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You see, we can give to the Lord bountifully and cheerfully of our energy, our time, our money, because we know the Bible's promises concerning those who give. We give one reason, because we know there's more blessed to give than to receive. Sometimes we might be afraid that we're going to be punished if we don't give. But the reason God wants us to give is in order to obey Him. Is He number one in our lives? We are to give cheerfully. John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Marriage is a wonderful institution. God has created it. It's from God. It's not from man. It's for our good. And the spiritual marriage institution known as the church is for our good, and it is from God, it's not from man. And God wants us to be a part of that family. This evening, as we prepare in just a moment to stand together and sing that song that we've announced as a song of encouragement, I want to ask you, what about your commitment to the Lord? Again, as I said this morning, I want you to think about your personal relationship with the Lord at this very moment. I want you to think about how you stand before the Lord. I want to ask you a question. Again, no public response. This is private between you and God. But I want to ask you, are you married to Christ? I ask you at the beginning this evening, are you married? You said you were. Now, as we close, are you married to Christ? Most of us in here are. If you're not, why not become married this evening? Commit yourself to the Lord for the rest of your life. Be a part of that family of which Christ is the head, added to the church by the Lord Himself through obedience to the gospel plan of salvation that we've already mentioned. If you understand that and haven't done it tonight, why not tonight? Why not obey the gospel of Jesus tonight? Become a part of the family of God. Most of us tonight have done that, I'm quite sure. And so, to the rest of us, you're married to Christ. I want to ask you, and only you can answer, are you faithful? Are you faithful to your husband, Christ? Is he number one? Is he number one in your life? Or if you're going to be perfectly, completely honest with the Lord and with yourself, have you been guilty of spiritual adultery? Have you put things of the world ahead of Christ? Have you put Christ on the back burner? Have you put His church on the back burner? Where do you stand in your relationship with the Lord? What do you need to do to make things right? You need to become a Christian? Why not tonight? You need to come home? Why not tonight? You need prayers for strength that you might be a better servant of the Lord? Why not tonight? As we begin this coming week, this new week and the rest of our lives, why not rededicate your life to the Lord this evening, if that's your need? It may be a private prayer between you and the Lord. Take care of that. But it may be a public response that is in order. We want to encourage you in a way that we can as we stand together and as we sing the song of encouragement.